Time to begin the meeting.
Who's that?
Mark Ryder.
Great.
Don't let him in. Too late.
I'm here.
You can't. Sorry. I didn't know you heard that.
That was intentional. All right, I'm going to call the meeting to order. Jamie, would you please do the attendance for us?
I'm here, Jim. I'll do it.
All right, great.
Okay, Chair DeLon?
Here.
Deputy Chair Corcoran?
Here.
Legislator Criswell?
Here.
Legislator Parity?
Yep.
And Legislator Warren? Here. Okay, everybody's here.
Great. Can I get a motion to approve the minutes and transcripts of the March 2nd, 2021 meeting?
I'll second
motion. That.
Great. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? None? All right. Thank you. Dr. Al, it's all about you now.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate it. Well, enrollment update, first of all, is for these, where we currently are for the spring semester, it's about down 13%, which is about where we thought we were going to be. So there's no surprises there. Things are moving okay. The thing that I'm pleased about is our summer enrollment seems to be about with par last year. And last year, for some, could be a lot of reasons, we were up quite a bit. So that's a good sign moving into the summer, having a solid piece of enrollment for us. For these, we pretty much finalized our fall schedules. So for the fall schedule, we're going to go about 50% face-to-face. About 30% will be, that's the distance learning that we put together this year, and there'll be 20% online. Roughly, those are the numbers. And we think it'll work. We feel very comfortable in having students on campus in the fall. If the trend seems to be moving, keeps moving the way we believe it is. So we feel good, but we're prepared to pivot on a dime. We have to go back to any way. We can do that. We've done it before. We have now distanced our classes. Thanks to the CARES dollars, we're able to get some new technology in our classrooms, which is really going to elevate even in the future. And I'll just say things will never be back the way they were. Well, the things for education, I think, is going to be better, because now we have 100% of our faculty have a grasp of understanding what this new technology is. And it works so well for some students, but coming back to face-to-face, they're gonna have that option to choose what they want to. So we're feeling pretty good about that. We've settled the OFAP contract. And one thing before that is, I don't think we've ever been in a position that at this time of the year, we've actually have a balanced budget. Usually this time of the year, we're quite a bit off and we have to really put the surgical knife to it and do cutting. But we came in, Jamie had a real good plan. We had budget meetings and we were able to use some of the CARES Act money to subsidize actual losses. So it kind of like patched the budget where we were concerned about. One thing we're gonna be able to do is we had this outstanding debt that cost us about $100,000 a year. It's been going on for 10 years. It was a project that the school got involved with a number of years ago, but it left a debt of millions, and we paid that off. So right off the bat, we're already $100,000 a year savings from that. And Jamie's done a real good job in whittling down our new, we call it OIT, which is more or less a technology for campus. We've done an incredible job. That was a couple of $1 million contract that it was so convoluted that it took a number of us to dig in and kind of look where that money was going, because it was a lump contract and they were taking care of all our services. But since day one I've been here, I said, we need to find out what we're paying for. Is this good or is it bad? And Jamie's got it down to less than $1 million from $2 million. So again, huge savings. I think it's going to get a get us in a position that next year we're going to be fine, irregardless of what the enrollment might be. We need to be leaner, and we need to be, like I told everyone in the beginning, this pandemic is a horrible thing. We need to take advantage of the positive part of it, and that is to look at everything we do and decide where we need to make the cuts and where we have to trim. So it was easy for me to say, but Jamie had to do it. So we've done, I believe, a pretty good job. I'll let Jamie jump onto the budget and some of the finances and discuss in detail the OPAP contract if you might have any questions. So Jamie, I'll turn it over to you.
Absolutely. Thanks, Dr. Al. Yeah, so as Dr. Al said, we're really in great shape going into budget at this point. We're still obviously all eyes on the state budget to see what happens there. The CARES funding did come through, and we're using that at this point, as Dr. Al said, to do some classroom upgrades. We know students will likely still have some level of remote delivery through hybrid models going into fall. So we still want our classrooms to be equipped for that, where we have a teacher in the classroom, and then the students, some may still have to be remote due to social distancing, some who have health issues, and some who just need to be offsite. So we're working through that, making sure that our classrooms are equipped and ready to go for fall. And it's been a really great added bonus for us. Again, looking at CARES funding, we want to use CARES funding for one-time costs rather than those recurring expenses, just due to the nature of CARES. But we're excited going into budget to see the enrollment starting to come back. We're excited, as Dr. Al said, about summer, and hopefully that path continues for fall.
Great.
And those are my updates there. Thank you. Any questions on budget? We will be coming to the board with our full budget once we go through our board. The timeline will likely be May for the community college board, and then we'll be coming in June to the county.
Very good. Thank you, Jamie.
Thank you.
Does anyone have any questions? No. Well, before we get to the resolutions, I do want to bring up a point that Legislator Cahill was a bit concerned about, having to do with Resolution 168. And Mark, are you there?
I am. Do you want to just take this resolution out of order, Jim? And
yes, why don't we do that? And why don't we just bring up the point that Brian was concerned about, and why he would be a no on this?
Yeah, I mean, do you want to move it for discussion? Right.
Right. So can I have someone move this for
discussion? Yeah, I'll move it, Mr. Chairman. I'll move it.
I'll second it.
Great. All in favor? Aye. Great. Mark, floor is yours.
Yeah, so at the chair meeting, Jamie and Dr. Al, mm-hmm. one of the concerns that was raised by Legislator Cahill was this is one bargaining unit out of several that the legislature has to vote on. Out of the others that are under the county kind of auspices, the other five are unresolved. And so this is kind of setting, I guess, sort of a precedent moving forward. Now, I know John Milgram, Jamie, and you have gone back and forth. I don't know if you want to I can talk on the county side. We are starting to work with the bargaining units on negotiations and moving forward. We do want to have all of the agreements in place so that we're not out of contract with any of the bargaining units in the very near future. Some of the reasons that we haven't done so have frankly been at the request of the bargaining units, because right as negotiations started up a little over a year ago, COVID hit, and they understood that the county was going to be strapped for cash and that we weren't able to potentially negotiate the way that they wanted to negotiate. But one of the things that Legislator Cahill brought up was that it does seem like these steps for the full-time steps are, fairly significant. So I know you and John have been discussing that.
Yes. So in terms of longevity, you mean, Mark?
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah. So this contract has a 0% COLA. It just provides the standard longevities, and the longevity amounts have not changed as part of the contract. So these are standard longevities typically at the county. Your longevity happens. It's a step increase on longevity. I know you guys roll it in as your budget processing. These are the standard longevities that have been in the contract and have not changed. There is no growth on that longevity amount.
Maybe it's not the longevity, maybe it's the steps. I know the first three kind of maybe grades or steps look like there was some increase, but it looked like it was revolved around maybe matching kind of a $15 minimum wage, like maybe these
correct
salaries.
Yep. Right. So we are, all of our employees are exempt employees. So we're required under Department of Labor law to have a minimum threshold of 35,000. In order, we have two employees who are currently below that threshold. So in order to get to them to that threshold, we need to increase those two employees' minimum salaries, which is increasing the that first entry level, again, in compliance with Department of Labor. So, alternatively, if we didn't do that approach, we would have to then have them do hourly timesheets, which would change our time recording system for those two employees.
All right, thank you.
I have a question.
So just stop. Go, Jamie, please.
Thank you. Jamie, my understanding is that there's an increase, an annual increase now in exempt employees' bottom salary. Is that something that, I mean, you're obviously aware of it. How are you accounting for that as you move forward?
So that's with these two employees who are below that 35,000 threshold. These two employees would be brought to the 35,000 threshold. All other employees moving forward would be starting at that 35,000 threshold.
Right, but my understanding is that for the next several years, there's going to be continual raising of that bottom line.
Yeah, so we're going to have to keep track of that. Since these employees typically would also be receiving a COLA or a longevity increase, they would hopefully stay above that line. But that is something that we absolutely will have to watch going forward.
Okay, because it's going to significantly, like in, I think it's a 5-year timeline or something. I've been trying to get up on it myself, but it's a pretty significant increase from what it is now, your bottom line, to where it will be in 5 years. So,
yeah, we may, if it does start to increase above your typical COLA and longevities, we may have to take those lower tier and rank, put them into a different time recording system to alleviate some of that, but we'll certainly be tracking that going forward.
Thank you.
All right, thank you all. Anyone have any questions? None? All right, so let's vote on resolution 168 then. Can I get a motion?
Motion.
I'll move it.
All right. In a second?
Yep.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? None. Thank you. Resolution passes. Thank you, Mark, Jamie.
Absolutely. Doctor.
Yes. All right. Resolution number 162, amending the 2021 Ulster County budget to accept funding from the New York State Office of Mental Health for the Veteran Peer-to-Peer Support Pilot Program, Department of Mental Health. Can I get a motion?
Okay, I'll move that.
All right.
I'll second.
Thank you. Any discussion?
I'll just say we did talk about this extensively in public health and it passed unanimously.
Great.
And I do have an answer, Peter, that somebody had raised, I think it was Laura, why there was no contract associated. And mental health and the Hudson Valley Reintegration Center are currently working through that contract. We anticipate that we'll be able to get it in front of you next month. Great. But there was a couple of sticking points from both sides.
The thing that I loved about this was that this is a renewable grant. Like once it's in the system, basically, I think it will have a good opportunity for renewing. And there's a lot of discussion about how peer-to-peer is a really great way to serve veterans, that there's a real connection with the peer-to-peer support program. So I was really in favor of this. I thought it was great.
Great. So let's take a vote on this. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? None? Passes. Now, under new business, Peter, why don't we talk about where we're at as far as non-county contract agency funding. And we recently adopted an amendment to the legislature's non-county contract agency funding policy, which requires that Ways and Means decide the value of departmental request for funding no later than May 31st annually. So, I'd like to consider at the next meeting a letter of recommendation pertaining to the value that we're looking to spend this year. And Amber has provided to me, which I will forward to all of you, kind of the history of the non-county contract agencies funding, both what was requested and ultimately funded, and those rejected. So it's something I'd like to, get a little more into at the next meeting. And we had also talked about a matrix for the purpose of examining applications in the future. And Peter, do you have anything to add here?
The only thing I want to add is, two things. One is, I think that we're doing this so wisely, taking this step by step by step. It's very slow. It's very logical. So it's not causing any argument. It's not causing any drama. It's just a very logical progression, which I think is really the smart way to do this. And then, in a nod to legislator parity for bringing up the term matrix, we're definitely going to pursue that. And a few legislators have already written to me with ideas about what could go in this matrix. But I think that would be the next step after this, is to start reaching out and, put together something that's a good solid email saying this is what we're looking for, and start to get people's input about, what they think the criteria would be, whether it be demographic, whether it be specific populations, whether it be, a wide variety of things there. And then I think we start to craft this idea of the matrix. And also, as Chairman DeLon has brought up, this idea of the possibility of themed years, I think is really interesting. So I think that that's something that we'll bring up as well, vetting ideas for potential themes for different years, and of course things will emerge that we don't even think of. As we all know, a pandemic emerged and we weren't thinking of that. So, but I think that that's the right way to do this. And again, I really think that we're taking this at the right pace and in the right step-by-step direction.
All right. So next month we'll get a little, as I said, a little deeper into this, but in the meantime, I will send to you that report on the history of funding. Any questions or comments?
If I could.
Please.
When you discuss with the folks, the Ways and Means, whomever, about the pot of gold, so to speak, for lack of a better word, there was a more than legitimate observation that maybe some of the folks that have been funded through this group really are more than essential and should probably or maybe go right under the administration's funding. Cornell Cooperative, things like that. I got a little mental block right now. The other prime non-for-profit in the community that does housing and all sorts of good things. And I got a mental block right this very minute. But because you wouldn't, if we're going to do something, if we want to have a real impact. We don't want $600,000 or $800,000 going out to one or two agencies. That probably should be under the administration's budget, and that might then offer an opportunity for more organizations to have an opportunity to be heard.
Well, thank you, John. That's a good point. Mark, how would we pursue this with the administration?
We've talked about just doing Cornell Cooperative in our budget. I know one of the other ones that was talked about, and it would be part of, like, Cornell Cooperative, I think, makes sense in the environmental budget. Ulster County Soil and Water was one that's always been discussed as should just go into whether that's the environment or whatever. I think Legislative Parity was also talking about RUPCO, although I'm not sure that
Thanks for your help, guys.
I'm not sure they're in legislative programs anyway, but yeah, we're happy to take on some of these that are that have a better fit, especially where there's a department that makes sense, like the environment with Cornell Cooperative or Ulster County Soil and Water. Some of the more difficult ones have been, like, I think it was the CASA contract or something similar to that, where they're doing court-appointed parental visits. And I think there's been a talk about shifting it to DSS, but I think there was a reason that there was a conflict that Chairman Donaldson has raised a couple times. So we should start that conversation. But in this year's budget, I know at least with Cornell and Ulster County Soil and Water, I think I'll reconfirm it with Pat, but the goal would be to shift them over.
Well, that's great, since, you know, they have to be funded.
Yeah.
It seems kind of useless for us to go through this exercise with them. So that would be great. So if you could let us know next month, that would be great.
What wouldn't be clear to me, though, just, I mean, to throw out there, would be whether we shift that cost over. I mean, I think that then proportionately this spending should then be reduced by that amount. I don't know if I would suggest shifting it and then having the quote unquote pot of gold remain the same.
Yeah,
I was thinking it could be doubled, actually, Mark.
We didn't say that there, Mr. Chairman.
No, we're good, Mark. We're on the same team here. So, all right. Any other new business? Any old business? All right. Good. Got a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Can I get a second?
Second.
All right. Well, I'll see some of you in a few minutes, and the rest, enjoy the evening. It's beautiful out there.
Be well, everybody.
Have a good one.
Take care.
Thank you.